You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
I have learned to be content in all situations. These are the words of St. Paul, and you and I could benefit a lot in our lives by learning his secret.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
O God of love and God of hope, look with mercy this hour upon those burdened by problems in life. O Lord, have mercy on those who have weariness instead of meaning, anxiety instead of contentment. We pray, O Lord, at this hour for Thy life-transforming, conscience-consoling, and hope-securing Holy Spirit. Convict our consciences of sin and enable us to flee to the sin-cleansing blood of Thy crucified and resurrected Son, Jesus Christ. For it is by His stripes that we are healed. In Jesus' intercessory name we pray. Amen. At the beginning of this century, it took giant passenger ships nearly 2 weeks to cross the Atlantic Ocean. 40 years later, the same trip was made by airplanes in only 16 hours. Today, traveling on the supersonic Concorde and flying twice the speed of sound, businessmen commute from Washington, D.C. to London in an incredible short 3 hours and 40 minutes. 30 years ago, washing clothes for the housewife was a day of drudgery. Today, this same task is reduced to conveniently turning dials and easily pushing buttons and casually folding newly clean clothes. 2 decades ago, scientists use room-sized computers to find answers to complex mathematical problems. Today, National Geographic magazine has pointed out that the former huge room-sized machines have now been reduced to a silicon chip the size of a postage stamp, and the calculations are completed in a matter of seconds. 30 years ago, children received toys and amusement items as gifts. Today, they receive sensationally designed video games, computer-crafted entertainment systems, and other technically sophisticated gadgetry. We are indeed swimming in an ocean of innumerable conveniences, high living standards, longer vacations, limitless luxuries, burgeoning job benefits, faster transportation, and convenience products crammed in supermarkets. Yet, sociologists report that a large percentage of our society seems more unsatisfied and more unfulfilled than any previous generation. Knowing this, ladies and gentlemen, can you then imagine what a 20th century shock it would be to hear anyone honestly say, "I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am"? I need not say it. Most of us know it. Contentment is not a characteristic of our generation, and as a result, a sincere confession of being content in all circumstances is striking to our generation, especially when we realize that it came from the lips of a man who had been shipwrecked, jailed, forsaken even by his friends, and viciously beaten by his enemies. This content man had no guaranteed income. This content man did not always know where his next meal was coming from. He lived for months in prison, realizing every day that his life might be taken from him in a matter of hours. Nevertheless, under these relentless conditions of tense turmoil and haunting uncertainty, St. Paul was enabled to joyfully confess, "I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." Contentment for St. Paul was not an instantaneous discovery. St. Paul said, "I have learned to be content." This divine, Spirit-placed gift of contentment was gradually worked in St. Paul by God Himself. And it came as a direct result of St. Paul's daily experiences with God's love and grace. There are very few people today who would deny that they also are looking for the type of contentment in life that St. Paul sincerely and honestly expressed. Scores of individuals today seek inner peace and meaning. Recently, a nationally known television anchorwoman met a tragic death at the height of her media career. Shortly before the automobile accident which took her life, she confessed, "I need a foundation." This talented news personality had glamour. She had fame, she had money, but she was not content. And so if you today are looking for inner peace, meaning in life, and contentment, then it is absolutely imperative that you diligently seek to learn why St. Paul was enabled to say, "I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." After a jolting, humbling, and blinding experience, St. Paul was led to see who Jesus Christ really is. I didn't say who He was, but who He really is even today. This was the first but indispensable giant step toward contentment. And let us always remember that before his Damascus Road conversion, the Apostle Paul was not an atheist. He was not anti-God. In fact, he was extremely religious. Furthermore, he was considered even a zealot. He took up the task of viciously hunting down Christians and persecuting them. In this mission, St. Paul believed, he seriously and honestly believed, that he was faithfully serving God. St. Paul had been convinced that Jesus was some insignificant religious rebel and cultic leader. He thought it would please God if he could just wipe out this growing group which followed the man called Jesus. One day, however, in a totally unexpected way and without warning, St. Paul met Jesus Christ face to face. Here is the dramatic confrontation as it is recorded in the Bible in the book of Acts, chapter 9, and I read, "And it came about that as St. Paul was approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Paul fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Why are you persecuting me?' Paul answered and said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And the voice with divine authority answered, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting.'" What a mistake Paul had made. He was a brilliant man. He was educated in philosophy. He knew more about the classical writings of the great Greek thinkers than do most college-educated people of our generation. However, like so many people today, St. Paul made one tragic error. In his arrogance and in his zeal, he was going to deny the person called Jesus. God, however, in His grace, would not permit it. And it was the blinding Damascus experience and conversion which laid the foundation for Paul's later contentment in life. Damascus was the cornerstone upon which was built St. Paul's confession, "I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." Ultimately and ironically, Paul found contentment in Jesus Christ, the one he was determined to wipe out at one time. Before Damascus, St. Paul considered Jesus a crucified and criminal infidel. After Damascus, St. Paul saw Jesus as the innocently crucified and resurrected Son of God. Before his conversion, Paul considered the bones of Jesus to be cold and rotting in a grave. After his conversion, St. Paul knew by faith that Jesus had indeed, as the Bible states, made purification for sins. He ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Yes, before Damascus, Paul was depending on his own self-righteousness. But after his conversion, the anxious heart of St. Paul was given inner spiritual contentment. that rested in the sin-atoning righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so today, ladies and gentlemen and young people, today may be your road to Damascus. You may not be suddenly confronted with a blinding light, but by the power of God, I urge you to recognize who Jesus Christ really is before it's too late. Get yourself a Bible. You may already consider yourself a Christian, yet your life is not what it could be. Get a Bible and begin to study it. Don't just casually read it as you would poetry. Don't just hope that you will receive a good religious feeling. Begin, rather, by reading one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Pray earnestly that God the Father would send His Holy Spirit to reveal to you the clear identity of His loving, healing, and salvation-guaranteeing Son. Several months ago, the wife of Elvis Presley stated that she felt obligated to write an official biography of this famed rock and roll singer. Mrs. Presley said it was necessary because so many untrue accounts had already been written about Presley. It is for a similar reason that the historical and biblical accounts of Jesus Christ were written. So many stories had been written and so much false information had been produced about Jesus that an accurate account had to be written. In the introduction of his gospel, St. Luke writes, and I quote, "It seems fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you. And so I urge you at this hour to study the Bible, study the Holy Scriptures. They are indeed reliable in every sense. These documents tell about Jesus. Learning about the Savior has the power to change your life and to give you lasting meaning and contentment. Yes, set aside for a while your addiction to television sports. Television in itself is not evil, but too much is too much. And as a young person, put aside your consuming attraction to video games, to music, or other activities which may now dominate your energy and attention. As a housewife also, let your television soap stories take a back seat to the Scriptures upon which you will learn of life as God wants it to be. Yes, study the Holy Scriptures. St. John writes, these things, the Bible stories, have been written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing in this, you might have life in His name. St. Paul met Jesus Christ face to face on his way to the city of Damascus. His life was totally and dramatically changed. The faith that God laid in his heart became the foundation for a life of meaning and contentment. As you read then the Bible and meet Jesus, God will also work in your heart. God has the divine power to remove your anxiety and give you perfect contentment. After his conversion, St. Paul continued to grow in his faith, and as his faith was strengthened, he became more and more content in life. When he was shipwrecked, the prospect of surviving was not encouraging. Yet, when all seemed hopeless, the Savior removed all fear and uncertainty. When Paul's enemies maliciously pursued him in the city of Damascus, there seemed to be no way of escape. Miraculously, however, the rescuing Redeemer sent helpers to let St. Paul escape in a basket that was lowered through an opening in the city wall. No, St. Paul's life was not easy. It was not a bed of roses. In fact, after he became an obedient follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul also faced even more challenges and obstacles in his life. This may also be true for you. In your most difficult and trying hour, trust in God's promise recorded for you in the Bible, which says, and I quote, "God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation," the Bible says, "God will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it." And ladies and gentlemen and young people, if you feel that you are suffering difficulty in your life, then rejoice with great joy. Remember the words of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 12, which says, and I quote, "Those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives." The Bible then also adds, "All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." In your search today for contentment in life, don't latch onto fleeting riches of this world. In your search for meaning in life, never turn to escapism through leisure or recreational activities. And in your desire to find spiritual peace, don't ever give yourself over to self-serving and man-made philosophies. Instead, strive to know the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Learn the godly habit of sincere and regular prayer. Reorder your daily priorities and activities so that you can begin a regular, disciplined, meaningful, and joy-producing study of the Holy Scriptures. No, don't be led to believe that following Jesus is going to be easy. It won't. It is difficult and it is demanding. But you can live each day with the assurance that God has totally forgiven your sins through Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Holy Scriptures tell us, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's only Son, shed on Calvary's cross, cleanses us from all sin. Yes, Jesus does have the power to give you a new life. In faith, live in Him every day and say with St. Paul, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Then, as you follow your loving Savior, God will work in you the strength and the assurance to say, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. God grant this unto you for Jesus' sake. Amen.